chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. You just read together the Beatitudes, Sermon on the Mount. This is a passage where Luke gives about half of the Beatitudes that Matthew records. We don't know if this is the same incident. Matthew speaks about them being on a mountain, and Luke says that they're on a plain. And so we would think, well, then they definitely have to be in two different spots. But then there are others that say that the mountain that may be referred is also a place where as you descend it, there are steps. One of them could have been a plane, so it could be a record, same time, same sermon, or if not, it's partially repeated. And I think parents and Sunday school teachers and preachers repeat things that are important and are necessary, and so it's okay to repeat a message over and over again. You see that Jesus records his teaching of the model prayer in Matthew as well as Luke. So I'd like us to just consider a few verses in Luke chapter 6. Remember, Jesus had taken a season of prayer. He spent the night in a mountain to pray, as we read in chapter 6 and verse 12. And he then calls his disciples. He names them, or he calls one in their name, and he ministers to the multitude, and then he preaches this sermon. It's about a third or a fourth the size of the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew. So we begin reading at verse 20. Jesus lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." So you see some familiar Beatitudes, like in the Gospel of Matthew. Here's our Lord and Savior preaching this sermon on the plain or on the step of the mountain, and bringing the same truth we read in Matthew, or again, if Luke is simply recording the same incident. It's interesting that we read of Jesus lifting up his voice in the Gospel of Matthew, and in the Gospel of Luke it says he lifted up his eyes on his disciples. So it's interesting that we see some strategy, some manner. It's not the most pleasant thing to look up at a minister and see him just reading a manuscript and not having eye contact with those that he's speaking to. And perhaps you've had a conversation with someone and they don't give you eye contact, and you wonder what's the matter. I know someone, not here, but whenever he speaks, he's looking over here, and you want to walk over and get his eye contact. But I don't know if it's just a habit, if a person can just be shy. I don't know what it is, but there's something about the authority and the empathy of someone that gives you eye contact. And especially to someone that raises their voice, because he wanted to be heard. There was a great multitude there. It says there were his disciples, his apostles. There were other disciples and a mixed crowd. And those who were ill and those who were demon-possessed that were in this crowd, and Jesus had to lift up his voice. And what's the use of preaching if he can't be heard? And Jesus shows us here some strategy that we should give eye contact to people that we're talking to, especially about their souls, about Christ and about the gospel. And we should speak as the proper vocal volume in order for them to be heard. And of course, if we're standing right next to someone, I guess we shouldn't be screaming. And if we're preaching to a great multitude, we shouldn't be whispering. So there's a way in which to speak. And you remember when in Philadelphia, George Whitfield by Benjamin Franklin was able to be heard for quite a long distance as he preached to multitudes. And he certainly burned out for the Lord. And so we find even from these introductory words some help as far as ministering to souls is concerned. And this section speaks of the Lord's benedictions and his blessings. And so he's the blessed Lord giving benedictions and particular blessings upon his people. Benedictions are upon believers. Normally, they're generally promises of God's presence and his protection. Like number 6, the Lord bless thee. What does he mean by that? And keep thee. So there's protection. The Lord keep you. Make his face to shine upon you, his presence. Be gracious unto you. There's the gospel. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And so we're shown here that benedictions generally and promises of God's presence, promises of his gospel and of his protection. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Psalm 134:3, the Lord that made heaven and earth bless you out of Zion, interestingly. In other words, particularly upon public worshipers. Out of Zion is the idea of those who are in worship, those who are in covenant with him by the gospel, those who are covenant church members. Zion is an official term for the people of God in worship, in covenant with him. Psalm 121, the Lord is thy keeper. So there's your protection. He protects you by day and by night. The sun will not smite you by day and the moon by night. He will preserve you from all evil. It speaks of, again, his protection and his preservation. He will preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, now and forever. And then Matthew 28, for those who are going with the gospel, he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of this age. So there's that promise of his special presence. Luke chapter 24, and he led them outside, and as he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And the context is that he's going to give them the promise of the Holy Spirit in their endeavor to evangelize the world. Acts 20:32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, two particular things, to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified by faith in the Lord. Familiar benediction in 2 Corinthians 13. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And so there's that special fellowship with God by grace, not merited, the love of the Lord, not ours, but his love, one our love, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And so when we're commanded to give benedictions in our public worship, what do they mean? The Lord bless you. It's a general expression, but whatever the benediction particularly is, may God protect you, may God preserve you, may God give you the gospel to build you up. And may God commune with you through the week to follow. And so these Beatitudes, are they greetings or benedictions? Blessed are the pure in heart, and so on. We would say yes. In Luke chapter 6, he gives four of the benedictions, and they're all found in Matthew in a different way. Blessed are the poor in Luke. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Matthew. Blessed are they that hunger in Luke. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness in Matthew. Blessed are they that weep in Luke. Blessed are they that mourn in Matthew. Blessed are those that are hated and separated and reproached and slandered in Luke. Blessed are they that persecute you for righteousness' sake in Matthew. And so we find that Luke gives four of the Beatitudes. And really, they're benedictions of grace. Why are we poor in spirit? Why do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? Why do we weep? Why are we persecuted and suffer for the Lord? Why does he give us these particular blessings or benedictions? Well, because we're chosen of God. We're poor in spirit because he humbled us with the gospel. And we don't count our lives dear unto ourselves that we might finish the course. We hunger and thirst after righteousness because we've been chosen of God and he's changed our lives because we're converted to Christ. We had a hunger and thirst for unrighteousness before. We had a hunger and thirst for the world's lusts and pride. Now we have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. We weep and we mourn over our own sin and over the sin of the world. Rivers of water run down my eyes because they keep not thy commandments. Is that true that we weep? Did we ever imagine when we were young that what would be going on today with the LGBTQ movements and the rebellion? Well, we saw some of it in the 60s, but the campus rebellion that's going on and the rampant, flagrant abortion industry, the butchers, the culture of death, as well as the immoral culture today. Because we're committed Christians, we seek to be poor in spirit and humble ourselves before God and before others and be servants of people. That's why we hunger and thirst. That's why we weep. That's why I hope it's not because of unrighteousness that we are persecuted, but that we are hated and vilified and ostracized, reproached, and slandered because we confess Christ as our Savior and we love Him. He is a great benefactor. Oh, think of the blessings in all of these Beatitudes. The blessings of God's presence surrounding us, His protection, all the angels that He sends to keep us from dashing our feet against a stone, His preserving grace. Oh, we could die at any moment. Oh, the devil would love to pick many Christians off within an hour if he could. The Lord preserves our going out. Think of the dangers that await us on the highways and in crowds. And you never know when a terrorist is going to show up and how he preserves us, how he forgives our sins and heals our diseases. What disease is ready to burst out from within us at any time. God's power in giving us His Spirit. God's prizes as you look at the rest of the Beatitudes. You'll possess the kingdom of God if you're poor in spirit. You'll have your hunger satisfied if you are hungry and thirsty for the truth. You'll laugh one day. There's promises for the future. You're going to laugh if you weep now. You'll be comforted, as Matthew says. You'll have a great reward in heaven if you're persecuted. Well, that's a general statement, but what what thoughts await us? Great reward in heaven. Heaven itself, isn't it our reward? Isn't the Lord our reward as well as heaven itself? Matthew 5, we'll inherit the earth if we're meek. Oh, there's a new heaven and a new earth coming. What a joy that will be, won't it? To be able to have freedom to roam the new heavens and the new earth. You know, some of us have owned a few acres of land or a few plots, but you and I are going to have freedom throughout all the earth, and we won't have to worry about marauders and wild animals and storms and tragedies. We'll be free and safe. We won't have to worry about who's hiding behind the next tree. We'll inherit the earth. We'll obtain mercy if we're merciful. Oh, we need the mercy of God. We'll see God if we're pure in heart. We'll perceive His presence. We'll be in the very presence of God. The Bible says that so glorious is the Lord, we won't have any need of the light of the sun or the reflection of the moon. The glory of God will lighten the heavens and the earth. If we are peacemakers, we'll be called the children of God. And you know, he's saying one of the major marks of those who are children of God is that they seek to preach the gospel that makes peace with God. We're peacemakers. Not like the world thinks, by having all these demonstrations and blocking traffic and trying to live in strange ways to bring peace that's not with God, but you and I have that promise of the Lord indicating that we are His children. He is the great benefactor. He's the one that gives us these prizes, these pearls. And let's think of them again. He says, you'll have the kingdom of God if you are those that are meek. What does it mean, the kingdom of God? Yours is the kingdom of God. You have assurance of salvation. You're part of the family of God. That's a huge benefit for God's people, to be assured that if we died right now, that we would be in the Lord's presence. How could we ever live with peace and with joy if we didn't have the hope of eternal life? How could we preach to others that they need the Lord if we aren't assured of the Lord? Ours is the kingdom of God. What a great prize. Ours is satisfied hunger, sanctification, the fulfillment of the Word of God in our lives. He will satisfy our hunger and thirst. We will look for no others. We used to, like the song says, we sought the Lord, as it were, we sought broken cisterns instead of seeking the Lord. But we have found that the Lord satisfies the soul, amen, delighting in Him. He gives us that desire. Him, delighting in Him. He satisfies our hunger. One day we'll laugh. You know, if you're walking with God, you're going to mourn. You're going to have the Spirit of Christ, who is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, because this is a fallen world. And we're just shocked. Still, I hope we never lose the shock of the murder of a young girl or the perversity of man and all of its inventions of evil. One day, we're going to have vindication over our enemies. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and those that are with the Lord one day will laugh. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is not just referring to a sarcastic laugh, but it's talking about the laugh of relief. The laugh of the realization that we're there, that we're past sinning. We're now glorified in a sinless state. Have you ever just laughed over the blessing of God, over some providence that just surprised you and amazed you? You just laugh at God's goodness and God's grace. That day's coming for God's people. We'll realize this life was worthwhile living for the Lord. It was not in vain. It was It was rewarding. God's prize is that one day we'll be comforted, we'll have rest. There will be no wrath. There will be no more judgment. We will be comforted. There will be a great reward in heaven, and again, heaven itself, eternal life. It will be with the Lord forever. And you know what heaven will be called? Like the very end of Ezekiel? What's the end of Ezekiel? Remember? Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Amen. That's what heaven is described as. You know what? That's the sign over heaven's gate. Jehovah Shammah, his special presence, will inherit the earth, we're told. The new heavens and the new earth are prepared for you and me. The Lord says, I have prepared a place for you. And don't just think of four walls with a roof. Why will we need a house? Isn't the new heavens and the new earth the house, the canopy of heaven? There won't be any need for shelter from the storm, heat from the cold, or cool air from the heat. It will all be perfect. We'll inherit this perfect creation. We will obtain mercy, full forgiveness, never to sin anymore. We will see God. Heaven will consist of walking with God, fellowship with God. This is the Lord's sermon to his people. He was preaching particularly to believers. These are your beatitudes. These are my blessings upon you. These are my benedictions. These are my prizes. What a great benefactor is our Lord Jesus Christ. He loves to bless his people. I want us to meditate, revel, bask in these blessings, these bursts of sunshine upon the souls of people. Because the next segment, dark clouds, storms, woe unto you that laugh now. Thank God that we can be among those that were there on the mount of Beatitudes. We can hear the words of our Savior, the benefactor. Blessed are you. Blessed are you as he extends his hands. Which side are you on? Are you on the side of the blessed, or are you on the side of the cursed? He gives blessings and he gives curses. We cry, Lord, bless me. Bless me, please. He was cursed for those he blesses. May we enjoy his blessings. Let's pray. Oh Lord, so often we almost feel guilty just to ponder, meditate on your blessings upon us, your benedictions. Lord, we need them. We need the sunshine of your goodness and your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you heard in your soul, woe unto you, dying on behalf of wretched sinners like we are. And Lord, how you had the dark cloud of God's wrath over your head. And you felt the wrath of God, the storm of his righteous anger. But one day, one moment, there was darkness, and then it is finished. Then it was, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The sunshine dispelled the darkness. We thank thee, Lord, that with your people there is light and sunshine, grace, glory, hope of eternal life. Oh God, so many of our loved ones and souls are under the wrath of God. The wrath of God abides over them. And they will hear if they don't repent one day, woe unto you. O Lord Jesus, please help us to enjoy your blessings and to bask in your sunshine today. You don't have to feel guilty of enjoying your promises, all your prizes that Christ has earned to shower us with. Thank you for this sermon, Lord, your message to us. We need you, Lord, to preach to our souls. Day after day, preach to us, Lord, as we read your word, as we hear your word. Please make us a blessing this week. Oh, that we would cry to people. Oh, that you would be blessed by the Lord. Become poor in spirit. Become meek. Become of those who mourn over their sins. Oh God, save sinners. Deliver them from your righteous wrath. Bless your people, Lord. May we not live in doubt, guilt. May we live in the sunshine of your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's close together and sing number 342, When This Passing World Is Done. 342.